Thank you very much. I'm sure Sarah Bonham. I think to agree to speak after a Weinberger, one has to either be foolhardy, arrogant, or both. I'll leave the call to you. There's something seemingly very anomalous about davening. We were listening to the very beautiful, compelling, and powerful words, the neshama expressing itself. And yet, when we look at our daily tefillah, clearly, it's literally the centerpiece. Quantitatively, it dominates the tefillah as well. Bakasha. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here's my list. There's at least 13 major categories on the list. We have license to embellish and to add to that. And Ribbono Shel Olam, so with a please, there's not always a please in there. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'd like this, I'd like this, I'd like this. Ribbono Shel Olam, first of all, give me the smarts. Then Ribbono Shel Olam, let's... You know, help me do tshuva, forgive me for all my sins, extricate me from all difficulties, all problems. Seems to be very self-serving. Yet Chazal tell us it's dvarim ha'omdim beruma shel olam. So for tzaddikim, there's an answer that tefillah is tzorach gavoah, that the words don't really mean what we think they mean. What they seem to mean on their most exoteric level, but I'm not sure how many of us can relate to tefillah on that level. So let's perhaps try to relate to tefillah on a more prosaic level. Why is tefillah? Why is it dvarim ha'omdim beruma shel olam when seemingly we're coming over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should gratify all our needs, like a child going to FAO Schwartz, and mommy, daddy, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. So why in the moshel? So why doesn't the child? Why is he asking mommy and daddy to buy all the toys? He should go and help himself, and he'll go over to the. He'll go over to the cashier, but he realizes that he can't do that because that magic plastic card, which his parents have, he doesn't have one of those. So he's not going to be able to go over to the checkout. He's not going to be able to go over to the cashier. The real point of tefillah is not seeking the gratification, is not seeking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us what we need, but is rather the acknowledgement and the awareness of absolute dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah says that Ein Omdin L'Spala Ela Mitoch Kovid Rosh. Rashi, literally, Kovid Rosh means a person, again, the antithesis of Kalos Rosh, of a lightheadedness, but Rashi translates Hachna'a, submissively. A person comes to Davin with submission. A person who's proud, a person who feels self-sufficient, by definition, can't daven. Because the essence of davening is not so much the chaneinu me'itcha, day of bina v'haske, el chochma bina v'das, but the essence of davening is the awareness, the acknowledgement of ato chonein la'odam das, umalamid le'enosh bina. The essence of davening is the awareness that as literally as these words can possibly be construed, that we're nothing without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Literally, nothing without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what underlies, that's why asking is so significant, because it reflects this awareness of absolute dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as I feel life is good, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to take care of myself, I have a parnasa, and my health is good, and, okay, at this point you'll realize this is somewhat fictional, and I go to the gym every day, and I'm in good shape, and so as long as I have that feeling, I can't begin to hope to daven. The Rav Zichron Levrach was fond of saying, there is, as you're aware, a very fundamental dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not the obligation to daven is midaraisa, whether or not the Torah mandates that one daven at least daily, or whether the entire obligation of davening is of rabbinic origin. There are many, many sources which seem to support the view of the Rambam that it in fact is daraisa, that the Torah mandates. So the Ramban suggests, well, maybe I'll make a concession. And maybe davening daily is not mandated midaraisa, but if it's an eis tzara, if a person finds himself, herself, in a moment of crisis, then that's what the Torah was talking about when the Torah says that we have to daven, but not daily. So the Rav Zichron Levrach was fond of saying, he wrote it as well, that he thinks that with that little concession, the Ramban gave away the store. And that the Rambam's answer to that is that a person is perennially in an eis tzara. Our dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu for health, for ourselves, for our loved ones, for everyone, is no different on a daily basis when we feel strong and healthy than Rahman al-Itzlan when one hears some kind of possibility of an awful diagnosis. The need and the dependence and the reliance is the same. It's an existential eis tzara. But as long as we're unaware of the need, there's nothing to ask for. To be impassioned in making a plea, so I have to feel passionately that I have a need. But if life is good and I can take care of myself and I have a mitzvah to daven, there's only so much I can artificially muster. And I think we all know that from experience. And halavai, those who don't should never know it from experience. But Rachman al-Itzlan, think back if a person has ever been in such a situation where one hears of some kind of terrible diagnosis for a loved one, so then taka we're able to daven. So it's not true that we've lost the ability and capacity to daven, because we do at times. And come ne'ila on Yom Kippur, when a little bit, we feel the reality that Chazal tried to impress upon us, Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefonav, so then we're taka able to daven. So we haven't lost the art of tefillah entirely. What we've lost is the awareness of our need for tefillah. Weinberger mentioned the Rabbeinu Yonah in the beginning of Brachos, who says that the very act of tefillah is an expression of bitachon. That's how the Rabbeinu Yonah explains the structure of our shachris, of our arvis, of smichas geula letefillah, that after we catalog all the chastei Hashem in taking us out of Mitzrayim, so then what? So then go to the office and again, with kochi va'otzim yodi, with my resourcefulness and my smarts, I'm going to make a living? No. If we realize that in history it's the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in the present it's also the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu It means, now in a different sense than Reb Tzadik was talking about, it means that one can't have bitachon in anything or anyone else. If I feel secure because of all my IRAs, and I feel secure because of all the savings which Baruch Hashem I've been able to amass in federally insured accounts, if that gives me a sense of security looking towards golden years, so whenever there's bitachon in anything else, we don't use the word bitachon, so we don't realize it. But whenever there's a sense of security which comes from any source which we attribute, which we erroneously attribute or ascribe to any source other than to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that detracts from the bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I feel good, I feel secure. My al tashlichenu le'zikna is not going to be so impassioned. I don't feel the need. Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo, Kavanas HaYetzira, from our vantage point, from our perspective, what do we think Hashem wants out of this entire cosmos? World seen and unseen, lower and higher. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from it? She'en lanu tam acher b'yitzir ha-rishona, ve'en kel elyon chofetz b'tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at one, in politics there are one issue parties. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a one issue agenda for us. One issue agenda for our sake, one issue agenda. Sheyeda ha'odam v'yode le'lokov sheberao. That a person should know and a person should acknowledge and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him or her. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ultimate gift, the gift of life. V'kavonas romumus hakol b'tfilos. V'kavonas bote haknesios uzchus tfilas harabim. Zehu sheyia livnei odom mokom yiskabtsu v'yodu lokel shebira'om v'himtziyom. The reason we need to have shulin, the reason we need to have bote haknesios, the reason we need to daven b'tzibur, is that there should be a place where people can gather, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He created us, publicize it, and affirm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're we are your handiwork. B'yosecha anachnu, we're your creatures. Professionally, if you're about to make a contact, there's a very big contract which is hanging in the balance. And you're representing your company at this meeting, and it's a mega, mega deal. So before you go to the meeting, the boss is going to impress upon you just how important what you're doing is. You know, you really need to put your best foot forward. You really need to think, prepare, because what you're doing couldn't be more important. If the person isn't given this background to the context and the content of the meeting, So he'll go and maybe be kind of casual. And he may present himself well, maybe not so well. But if he knows what hangs in the balance, so then he's really going to be motivated, really going to be motivated to exert himself. He's going to make the necessary preparations, and b'shas ma'aseh, he's going to exert himself. Says the Ramban, when we go to shul, again, we do it, Baruch Hashem, all the time. 2-3 times a day. Says the Ramban, when we go to shul and we're davening, so we're achieving the kavana, the goal, the telos of the entire Bria. It's a meeting worth exerting ourselves for. It's a meeting worth preparing ourselves for. Rav Pinkus, in his monograph, Sha'arim B'Tfilah, has a very, very important observation. He says that if we'll look in the Rambam to see where the Rambam discusses the role and the halachos of preparing for davening, so the Rambam discusses it in the context of Perek Dalid, where he lists 5 things which are absolutely indispensable for davening, which if a person cannot satisfy any of these 5, he should not daven. A person has to be clothed appropriately. The surroundings in which a person finds himself have to be appropriate. And these are non-negotiable. There are other things that are negotiable in Perek Hay of Hilchos Tefillah. But Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tefillah are non-negotiables. One of the non-negotiables is having kavana, is being focused, concentrating. And in that context, the Rambam says, again, Ashrei Yoshevei Veisecha Od Yalalucha Sela. First, a person comes, sits quietly, prepares himself for davening, then he can daven. But here, the hachana is not something which can help enhance the mitzvah. It's not something which can help upgrade. It's not something which can make it extra special, extra meaningful. It's something which is absolutely indispensable. And it should be. No one would go to that meeting in which this mega contract hangs in the balance and just dash in without having a chance to collect one's thoughts and what am I going to say? What am I going to talk about? How am I going to make the presentation? No, there's going to be tremendous thought that goes into it beforehand. Without the hachana, it's almost guaranteed to be a losing battle. Almost guaranteed to be a losing battle. He goes on to explain by juxtaposing 2 Rashis in Maseches Brachos that the way hachana facilitates and is indispensable in that respect is not only in terms of sort of clearing our minds of distractions, of course it does that as well, but through the hachana, again, the hachana, as we say Psukei Dezimra, even as we're saying Shema U'Birchoseha, that's a way of inducing the Shechina. If a person is able to be Mekarev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elav, as Rashi says, so then, if the Shechina is right in front of me, if the presence is so imminent and so vivid and so immediate, so then it's easy to maintain a dialogue. It's when we don't feel anything. That's when it's such an almost impossible challenge. But through the hachana, through the Psukei Dezimra, so Rashi says, he's Mekarev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elav. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, if I can have some sense that he's right there, I have no difficulty focusing on people this morning and addressing them. I see them. So we're not going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in the same sense, not in a physical sense. But that has to, but if there can be some feeling, so then tefillah becomes something doable. And without that hachana, it can't happen. And just finally, we said that in making the presentation, a person will prepare himself, but a person will also exert himself, b'shas maisa. To concentrate is a physical exertion as well. I think that the story is told of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that people noticed that in his older years, it took him longer to daven than it used to when he was younger. So one of those who was close enough to be able to make the inquiry asked him why it is that he davens longer now. So Shlomo Zalman said, I'm older, I'm much weaker. He says, I have to stop and rest in the middle. I can't daven consecutively. I no longer have the physical stamina for that. The Chazon Ish descriptions are not as an old man. Well, I'd like to think not as an old man. I think he was around my age when this story was told. So as a young man, the Chazon Ish sometimes would be sitting for davening because he didn't have the koiches to stand. Meaning there's a physical exertion. Try it. There's a physical exertion in trying to focus on something to the exclusion of all else. All distracting thoughts, everything that's swirling around us. It's a tremendous physical exertion. We have to be willing to make that also. A person, sometimes we think that tefillah is just sort of one can coast into and coast through tefillah. No, it's a tremendous, tremendous physical exertion. Halavai, that going back to the first drasha, skipping this one. So Baruch Hashem, we heard Noa Doresh, and halavai, we should all be zocha to be Noa Mekayim as well.